Eskin hails from the jungles of the Glimmering Isles. When the western provinces of Sunisia rebelled long ago, many fled the land, settling in the uninhabited islands that lay to the north. Humans gathered an armada worth of ships and set sail, the dragon Durgan and his brood keeping watch from the skies and the waters. They could not protect their people from all dangers, however. Disease and lack of supplies took a large toll on the refugees. A storm sunk one of the ships at sea. The voyage had much ill fortune. When they found the Glimmering Isles, there was much joy. The isles were abundant with fruit and other edible native plants. Game was plentiful, as were fish off the coast. They had found a place where they could be free and grow strong. The future Glimmerians started their new life, forming tribes that populate the Glimmering Isles to this day. Samsaris is a world forged by demons, but stolen by dragons. Four heroes have banded together to ensure ancient evils do not reclaim their creation. Episode 11, Flight from the Tower.
Arasar has flown up and out of the canyon and back onto the land above the canyon and has moved toward what you know is the direction of the Delharoon camp. "Please," he mutters. "Please get off."
Cordo rolls off. "Will you be okay, Arasar?"
I, and he's slowly shrinking again. "I don't know that I can walk. And before long, the human that you met on top of the tower is there before you again."
"This place is not safe. We would do well to not stay here long. I know of an oasis not far from here where we can rest and recuperate."
"All right. Well, let's get going. Nobody here is going to survive well under the sun beating down on us, so let's make for this oasis post haste."
You walk about 2 hours through the sands, practically dragging along Arasar, who he's not doing great. He is certainly weak and exhausted. It seemed that flying you up out of that chasm took a lot out of him. But you get in sight of unless your eyes are fooling you, a pool of water in the middle of the desert, surrounded by a few sparse trees and a large rock.
"Yeah. Cordo, is Cordo helping support Arasar?"
"Yes."
"Okay. Then he drags him over to the pool as fast as he can. Cordo sort of like plops him down a little unceremoniously and then drops to his knees and just face down into the pool, starts drinking some water.
Jakir stands stoically by as you do so. The water is delightful and cold, naturally chilled from the earth.
"That's pretty refreshing. You should have some of this, Jakir. It's better than ale after a long walk in the desert."
He drops to one knee and cups his hands and brings up a scant amount of water to his mouth, sips out of it.
Cordo will kind of like cup some for Arasar too. I don't know how cognizant he is, but like, I guess like cup some in his hands and then like put it in front of his face.
He weakly sips from it and mutters out a hoarse, "Thank you."
"I feel we should rest here, human."
"Agreed. Let's let the heat of the day pass, and then we can travel once it starts cooling down again."
"Yes, I do much better in the dark."
"Yeah, I bet you do."
Karatas, the Delharoon that was feeding the smoke pits, he starts stripping off his clothing and jumps into the water. It's not spectacularly deep, but if he lays down, it almost covers him. The water is so cool, my friends. Been so long since I've been by water.
You sound whiny, just like some sea elf I know. You used to complain about water all the time. With this jibe, Cordo also strips down and wades in.
And it's been a while since you've been water, too. It feels nice. It reminds you of being at sea. I mean, it's not exactly salty, but it's still nice, despite not being salt water. Well, plus you can drink it.
Now, can we actually take any kind of rest here?
So there's palms against a large rock that casts some shade. On the opposite side of the spring, it looks like there's the remains of a fire pit.
Okay, cool. Man, I don't think it's necessary to keep watch right now. No, of course it is. You guys are all too good not to do that.
I'm sure those beasts will be trying to find us.
Yeah. Okay. Well then, Jakir, do you mind taking the first watch? If we're going to be here for several hours, we'll have time to rotate you out so that you can rest too.
I will.
I'll be second, says Cordo.
Then get rest now. I will wake you in a few hours.
Awesome.
It occurs to me, human, that you're willing to fall asleep while I guard you.
Well, if you want me as a bargaining chip, there's no way that my friends will parlay with you if I'm dead. So no matter what happens, you need me alive.
So it couldn't just be that you're beginning to trust me.
Let's just say that I don't think you'll attack me for no reason right now.
Well, we will see. Rest easy, Cordo.
Jakir, before you go, have you thought of trying to raise an army without the use of the Ashstone?
Human, I have not thought much of raising an army at all.
What else can you do with the stone?
Sleep well, Cordo. Perhaps you'll dream of the answer.
Cordo grumbles to himself, but nonetheless closes his eyes and tries to sleep.
So you drift off relatively quickly. You had a moment of tension and restlessness, which quickly fades as you just pass out. You don't dream at all. It seems much too soon. You're being shaken awake. The sun is now very high in the sky. Everyone is clinging close to what little shade there is as it's coming down from straight above. Jakir is sweating horribly and looks almost sick.
Mm-hmm. Jakir, you take your watch seriously. You don't look so good.
I do not do well with the sun.
All right, then. I'll take the next watch. You should get in the shade. Anything to report?
The horizon has been clear. Wake me at any sign of trouble.
Will do.
He goes over to the pool of water and splashes his face, and then gets tight against the rock.
Yeah. Cordo makes little circuits around the oasis, kind of walking in circles. Every couple times he'll come and splash some water on himself to cool off, but always keeping an eye out on the horizon. He's also periodically checking on the dragon too, on Aerisar.
He is breathing as steadied, at least. He seems to be doing a little bit better. Roll a constitution check.
Constitution, you say? Okay. Success.
You manage to continue your circuits, stay awake. It's difficult. It's really hot and quite oppressive. And you're just tired, so tired. But you manage to keep on. So as you are doing so, it's getting close to the end of your watch when you see dust on the eastern horizon.
Can Cordo squint towards it to try to see if it looks like even one person versus many people, like by the size of the dust cloud?
It looks too big for a single rider.
Okay. He walks over to Jakir and shakes his shoulder.
His eyes open very steadily, and he looks at you in silence.
There's someone approaching. Probably several people.
He rolls off his back onto his knees and then stands, grabbing his bow from the ground and slinging a quiver of arrows over his shoulder. He peers around the rock.
It looks like many riders.
They must be headed this way. This is the only feature to this landscape for within eyesight.
Perhaps it is this Del Harun tribe that you travel with.
Perhaps. But generally, fate does not smile on me quite that readily.
And it doesn't, because very soon afterwards, cresting the horizon, you can make out on about a dozen horses more of the Alucard, the mutated-looking draconic men you fought in the bottom of the pit.
Can we tell how many of them there are now?
There looks to be about a dozen.
Okay. Dang. Let's get the dragon out of here.
And how do we outrun the horses?
Yeah. It's not gonna happen. I mean, this is really a chance to turn a problem into an opportunity. If we could take some of those horses, we could make much better time across this desert.
I agree, human. But how do we get through a dozen of them?
Karadas is looking extremely nervous as he has woken up during this conversation. He's crouched by the two of you.
We can't just take him on. That's ridiculous.
Help me to stand.
Yeah? Erisar?
Yep, it's coming from his mouth.
All right. Cordo gets an arm under his shoulders and hauls him up.
I will lead them away.
Are you sure? That sounds incredibly dangerous.
You have saved me. This will make us even.
But how will you escape them? Are you well enough?
I will see. He walks over to the water, better than he had been, but it does seem to be that he's moving with some false bravado.
Erisar, you're as noble as the reputation of the Golden Dragons that precedes you.
I hope to see you again someday, Cordo. He takes a long drink of water and then starts to transform. Before long, he's much too large for the rock to obscure his visage, and he flaps his wings heavily downward, and he's in the air. You hear all kinds of yells from the direction of the Alcar.
Do they change course to follow him?
When he starts moving, yes, they do.
Okay.
So he heads in the direction of the Del Harun camp.
Oh, well, that's the same way we're going. If it's towards the end of Cordo's watch, is the sun starting to descend towards the horizon?
Yes, it was toward the end of your watch.
Okay. Well, Jakir, I think this is as good a time as any to start heading back to our camp.
You look back out, and you notice that they have all gone, except for two of them.
Oh.
They are milling around the desert in the area that they are in with two horses.
Well, Jakir, definitely time to start heading back to camp. And I think those two Alcar are going to provide us the horses that we need to get there. So, yeah, maybe we should go get those horses.
This might be the best idea you've had, human.
Thank you.
He looks at Carettus, and a slight smile crosses his face.
Really? What do you have in mind, you cunning drow?
We do not want them to flee and find the rest of their host. Perhaps we can draw them in.
Are you saying that we should send Carettus out as bait while you and I hide in the trees here? And then when he lures them close enough, we stick them full of arrows?
You see Carettus just look incredibly uncomfortable. And the look does not abate from the drow's face.
Now, Carettus, you know we got your back here. We wouldn't rescue you from that tower just to throw you back into the spawn of that brown dragon.
They cannot capture me again. I cannot go back.
They will not. You have my word.
Up we go.
And Jaikir just grabs his clothes and pushes them out from behind the rocks. You instantly hear the Alcar hiss and wail, and you hear the hard hoof beats of their horses. He starts running away from them. Carettus just books it toward the other side of the oasis.
Okay.
Let's roll initiative.
Right.
All right. Cordo, you are first.
Cordo's going to use his turn to climb this palm tree that's right next to the rock. Assuming that the top of the tree itself is taller than the rock.
Okay, go ahead and roll a dexterity check.
Okay. Alright. Rolling dexterity. Oh, success.
You spend this turn climbing into this tree. The Alcar ride forth. And Carettus just books it.
Yeah, run, little Belharoon.
Alright, initiative for next round. The Alcar to the south continues to ride forward. He is drawing his Kopesh. So his horse thunders hard over the ground. He's driving as fast as he can go. And suddenly he just falls. And you see the saddle go with him, and it looks like the leather on his trousers just rotted right away.
Random.
Cordo.
Alright, Cordo pulls his bow from off of his shoulder and, knocking an arrow, draws a bead on the rider currently on his mount. God damn, those guys are fast.
He circles around the other way of the pool, hoping to cut off the poor Delharoon. Jaikir is going to do the same. He's knocking an arrow and pulling it taut, aiming it at the rider still on his horse. Carettus stops and yelps and instantly turns tail to run back the opposite way.
Right. Not doing so bad.
And Jaikir lets an arrow fly. And unfortunately, it flies wide, but it alerts both riders to your presence.
Yeah. Cordo fires at this guy. If I don't hit the horse, that would suck. Ah.
As he turns to look to see where Jaikir's arrow came from, your arrow finds its mark and buries itself deep in his shoulder. It looks at it for a moment, hisses, and grabs at the shaft, and quickly weakens and then falls from the saddle, dead.
Yeah. Cordo looks at Jaikir with a very smug look.
Bounds out from behind the tree as you do so, and he hits for 8 hit points. And as this Alcar is straining to get himself off the ground after the hard fall he took, Jaikir's arrow goes directly into his head. He looks around for a moment with blank eyes, and then falls over also dead. And Jaikir returns your glance.
Cordo shrugs, but still kind of smiles, like an acquiescence.
Jaikir yells after Carettus.
It's okay, you miserable whelp. They're dead.
Cordo wants to do some unnecessary acrobatics now. He wants to jump from the tree to the rock and then try to get a running start and then try to land on the horse from the rock.
Two acrobatics checks.
Sweet. Dexterity check number one succeeds. Dexterity check number two succeeds.
So you drop out of the tree, a rock and a roll, which does not stop your momentum at all as you roll right back up to your feet, run across the top surface of the rock, and leap the 5 feet to land directly on the bare back of the horse.
Yeah.
Jakir walks over to the other side of the pool and kicks the body of the dead Alcar into the waters, grabs the rein of the other horse.
Perhaps it is best that we don't stay here much longer.
Agreed. Karadas, let's do it.
Karadas, still shaken, gets up behind you onto your horse.
I don't feel we can go directly back to the camp, as there may be an army between us and it.
Should we circle around then?
As you say, human, I feel that is best.
Mm-hmm.
So you take off. Whereas the camp is mostly south, you take off more in a westerly direction with Jakir in the lead.
Okay, cool.
I know of a passageway back.
Is this the same place that you were hiding when you first sent that message to us by arrow?
Yes, you remember me fondly.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, yeah, let's go with that.
I don't believe we'll be able to reach there without rest first, but we'll be close. I do know of another safe place in which we can rest.
All right, let's make for that then.
Excellent. Come now.
All right, Cordo wheels his mount towards the direction that Jakir is going.
So you ride for hours until you're just near exhausted again. It is starting to get dark. You come upon three rocks in the desert, and they make a somewhat semicircle.
This will be a good place.
Yeah, this looks good. Man, I hope Arisar is okay.
Perhaps you will see him again someday, human.
So now that you've stopped going through the saddlebags of the Alcar, there are some rations and whatnot, enough for you both to eat rather heartily, of which Jake here does. And he hasn't let on to much physical discomfort or hunger or tiredness or anything. But watching him eat now, it's obvious that he has been suffering as well.
Call that sun, huh?
Yeah, it's really taking it out of him.
Cordo was not very sympathetic to this. Although it does, again, make him think of Azelrath and his problems under similar conditions.
Does seem that, well, with all these wondrous races, as a human, you adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Human, you should rest first.
All right. All right. Cordo is getting a little nervous, though.
I'm gonna roll a perception check to see if Jakir notices this. Jakir looks at you.
You look worried.
Your jest earlier about me trusting you is starting to make more sense in the light of how close we are to camp.
What do you mean, human?
You've still given me no assurances that you're not just going to try to use me as a hostage. I mean, we have now been through some shit together, but I don't see anything stopping you from trying to coerce me or restrain me and use me against my friends.
If we're being honest, I confess to not knowing what my plans are right now. Things have changed. First and foremost, I wish to get out of this desert safely, away from this army of beasts that are hunting us.
Well, I guess that seems reasonable, but know that I've not relinquished my suspicions of you.
And nor should you, if you are wise. But there'll be much time tomorrow to distrust me.
Cordo gives him one last suspicious glare and then closes his eyes.
I'm called Heskin.
Heskin. Heskin, can I give you a bit of advice?
Sure.
Don't ever piss on the captain's door. They don't take kindly to it.
That's understandable. I look over at Laxa.
He's watching your exchange and rowing.
I turn back to the sailor and say, you were a sailor on this ship?
Aye. 7 years.
7 years? Funny that he would shoot him, but not shoot you. And I say that as I look down at the dead body on the ground.
Captain's a bastard, but he's a stickler for rules.
I can see.
No, stickler for rules aside, Captain Jergil is a bastard.
This really sucks, I say as I look around.
Wasn't always like this. No. Used to be a lot better.
In what way?
Jorgil's only been captain of this fine vessel for about a year and a half. Got voted in because he promised to make us more money. Truth be told, he takes a swig out of his flask. I don't give a damn about the money.
What do you care about?
Before we were slavers, we were pirates. We plundered ships. Many a Sunesian vessel. We took all their cargo. And that, my friend, oh, that was the life.
Was it now?
I'll tell you something, Heskin. Instead of that door, I'd prefer to piss over all the sunlit isles, every single one of them. Just drench them.
Well, how are you going to do that? If you're all chained up, when are they going to let you out of here to go do that?
Probably when they let you out.
You wouldn't happen to know when that is.
Whenever we reach San Santorina. I was born a slave. Guess it makes sense that I might die one too.
How close are we to San Santorina?
I imagine around a week from land in Elwyn's Cove. We'll probably be sold there and marched by slavers to San Santorina.
That sounds lame. How do you feel about that?
Wasn't how I wanted to spend my years, no.
Oh, wasn't how I wanted to spend mine either.
What are we gonna do about it?
I don't know. I look down at the body on the ground and kind of just manipulate it with my feet a little bit just to see, like, does this dude have a knife on him or anything?
He does, actually.
I figured he was one of the pirates, you know. I turned to Ethan. So we could start with that. And I glance down at the knife as I keep rowing.
Well, he reaches down into his other boot and pulls a small, thin dirk from it. There's that.
I glance to Laxa.
Don't look at me. I don't have a knife.
Like, well, you could. It's very close.
You should hide it. Wait until there's opportunity.
I take it and, like, I try to be slick about it, pick it up and take it.
There are many more of them than there are of you. Remember that.
There can't be more of them than us, though. As I look around the room, then I glance back at Marna.
If you could unlock us all, yes.
I look down at the chains. So, we're all shackled together, right? But not, like, all individually to the ground?
Correct. Any attempt at Praga will sing like a bird.
I look up at him and he's just up at the front, right, Brago?
He seems to be watching in your direction, but almost seems too nervous to approach.
I'm just still rowing. I'm gonna pass the knife back to Marna.
She wraps that white cloth around it that originally held the hard tack and she secrets it away.
I turn to Ethan and say, I think we should wait till nightfall. They'll feed us, and then we can do what we can.
How do we get out of the chains?
We have that knife. And then I kind of start looking at this other, the pirate's dead body on the floor. I imagine he has other things. Does he have, like, pouches or anything on him? Maybe any other weapons or...
Looks like all he had was a knife. He doesn't really have anything else of really any... Like, he pretty much had his clothing on him.
Yeah. Was he wearing a belt?
Roll percentiles. I'll give you a 50-50 chance. If you're over 50, he has a belt.
Over 50, he has a belt. 81.
Yeah, he's wearing a belt.
I'm going to try and... I mean, gosh, it's going to be kind of hard to, like, work it off of him.
Yeah, that would...
That would call attention.
Totally.
We have that knife, I say to Ethan. That should be enough to break at least one of the chains. And I look around, is there any kind of stores down here at all? Like, I mean, other than, like, a chair for Prago to sit in? You know, is there any, like, a shelf or anything, like, anything that I can see?
There are a few crates at the back.
Surely there's something in those crates we can use.
You know, you have your doubts about the knife or dagger's ability to break the chains. They look pretty sturdy. An axe, maybe.
An axe, brilliant. Was Prago wearing weapons?
No, he doesn't have a weapon.
Yeah, he seems to be kind of a slave, too. Maybe we could make a distraction of some sort.
As far as I know, three men have keys. Prago, Captain Jorgil, and Targur.
Man, if we could make a distraction, our hands are free. You said Laxa's big. He's bigger than Prago, right?
Yeah, Laxa is... He's pretty stacked.
Laxa... Surely you could crush that man in one blow if he were to get close to you.
I don't know if I could. Too sure. They would kill us all before they let us out.
We do have the knife. Just a quick one right to the throat. It's what he would get for betraying all of his people.
He is weak. He does it because of fear.
Living in fear is just as bad as living in chains like these.
So then he is a prisoner just as much as we.
That's deep, Laska. I wonder if we could convince him. Surely it pains him to see his brothers like this.
Perhaps, but he is not like that. That's all he cares of.
I mean, it's simply fear. I mean, look at him. Does he still look all nervous?
Indeed. He pretty much generally looks nervous. There was that slight moment when he first talked to you that he tried to muster some bravado. Once Targur came down, it was just wiped out of him.
Yeah, he's just kind of a douche. What if he just grabbed him and covered his mouth? I could work the gut.
So your conversation is suddenly interrupted by the sounds of the door and the stairs again. And we'll say that this conversation happened in spurts over the span of several hours. There's multiple pirates coming down. One of them points toward one at the, like, toward the front. And he is quickly unshackled and hauled away. They're walking down the hallway, and the man who did the pointing eyes Laxa, and his eyes immediately light up. Yes, him. Laxa, no. And they take off the chains and hoist him to his feet and drag him away as well. And then up the stairs they go, and suddenly the door shuts. Well, that's a pity, says Ethan.
It certainly is.
One of them's going to come back.
What do you mean?
Only one can win. The other one goes overboard.
What do you mean? Like, some kind of fighting match?
He nods stoically. That's how they entertain themselves.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Barbaric.
Indeed. Sure Laxo wins.
He is built like a bull.
True. I glance back at Marna.
She looks disgusted and fearful. This is the first time we've seen her facial expression change.
I just mouth the words, "It's okay." And then I nod.
She shakes her head sadly.
I give her like a questioning look.
They will fight. One of them will die.
I believe in Laxa. Sometimes you can just tell about a man.
And maybe half an hour passes before they're dragging him down again. He's strapped back into the seat, and he looks a little battered, but certainly alive.
Are you okay, my friend?
Oh, great Brasses, please forgive me.
It's okay. It's these madmen who are forcing us.
The man died in my hands.
We will be free, and when we are, he'll be avenged.
I had to. They're surrounding me. Guns. They would have killed me.
Hey, it's okay. Put my hand on his shoulder. We will be free. And then I look over at the hole in the hull. that the captain shot.
And you just see the single beam of light coming through it, laying across your legs, and the dead pirate on the floor. So you do get fed that day, and you do get a scant amount of water. They end up taking another body out of there eventually from another part of the room. Though they leave the dead pirate in there. They don't seem to be too big on cleaning up.
Yeah, apparently. Once he starts to stink too much, maybe grab him.
Time passes. Nighttime comes. And you wait. You wait for your opportunity. The next day, you're up to full strength. And the day passes much like the others, mostly in silence, as people seem mostly fearful to speak. And for good reason, every so often, Targol comes down and whips a person or two, puts the fear back into them. A few days pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's night, and it's getting toward what you imagine has got to be close to the end of the rowing. However, you seem to have gone later than usual tonight. Laxa leans over. We must be getting close. They're pushing harder.
We gotta get off this ship before then.
And again, down come some pirates. And it's the same ones from earlier, from the few days before. So they are looking around the ship, and the one that pointed for is like, oh, yes, him again. And they come and they grab Laxa. And they start dragging him away. Then he stops at the edge of the thing, his hands on his hip, looking at you.
I'm just rowing, not looking at him.
You.
I glance over at him.
I hear that you're his friend.
I don't know any of these people.
Him too. They undo your shackles, and you feel multiple hands grip you. They drag you down the aisle and up the stairs and the door at the top of things. Your eyes take a moment to adjust to all the flickering torchlight. And the night is super dense, almost like you could chew on it, but you're just standing in clouds.
Barely see your hand in front of your face.
And you suddenly find yourself in the center of the top deck, in a circle drawn on the deck by chalk. Laxa standing across from you.
What is this?
The captain walks over through the crowd of cheering pirates to the edge of the circle. I don't believe we've met. I am Captain Jorgil.
I don't believe we've met either. I'm Heskin.
Heskin. Laxa here has been quite the champion. You see, we swap and rearrange a little match. It's great for morale. Do you smoke?
No, I do not.
Pity produces a pipe and takes a few puffs and blows out the tobacco smoke. It's a gentleman's art, smoking. So now the two of you will fight, and one of you will win, and the other one will eventually stop moving. Will be thrown over the side of the ship.
I look around at all the pirates. How many are there?
There's probably like 30, 40.
And I imagine they're all drinking and all this.
Yeah, they are in a rather festive mood, like in a big crowd all around you.
And it's nighttime, you say?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's torches, I take it.
Yeah, there's some people are holding them. Some of them are posted on the mast and various other places.
Yeah, just kind of around. I just look around. Is there a lot more? Is there a lot of like cargo and just random crap on the ship? Stuff people are sitting on and things like that, or is it relatively clear?
A few boxes and ropes and stuff.
I look around at everybody. Now I look at Laxa. Is everybody like pretty much crowded around us?
There's like nowhere to really go without running into a wall of people.
What? How does Laxa look? Or Laxa?
Nervous, afraid, fearful. Slight bit of determination.
I look at him like just looking like sad, like it had to be this way kind of thing, but also not, I'm not looking at him like I want to kill him or nothing.
Well, now are you ready to fight?
I guess if you're ready to tell me I am.
He yawns, almost seems disinterested in this all. He pulls the pistol out. At the sound of the pistol, one, two, three. So when he says three, there is a massive explosion. No, strike that. Explosions. Splinters fly everywhere. You see people running in every which direction and yelling, and the mast of the ship falls to the ground. The number of people around you is thinned out, and you're trying to piece together what the hell just happened. When the fog parts just enough that you can see a little too close for comfort, another ship flying a pirate flag.
Total, Heskin's just totally blown away. Looks up at the flag and looks at Laxus.
You hear the pirates yelling, "Thelgold! It's Thelgold!"
Do they all look scared and freaking out?
Yeah, totally. They are running. You guys are totally ignored right now. They're running for battle stations, picking up muskets. You see some running down below decks to get to the cannons.
I'm just looking out. What's Jorgil doing?
He's giving commands. While certainly affected, he seems to have gone into business mode. You know, he's telling people where to go. He's to the cannons. You to the crow's nest. Fire when ready. He's commanding the pilot to steer the ship away. And he's, he got his shit together really quick. But still in a calm, slightly less disinterested voice.
Is Prago around?
No, he's still downstairs.
So in all this commotion, I'm going to kind of just put my head down and run over to Laxa and motion him to follow me back down to the slave quarters.
He runs behind you. This is not good, he says.
No, it isn't. But if we do it right, it can be good for us.
Maybe. But Thelgold, he will kill us all. She's the most vicious pirate. Everyone knows. Everyone knows.
And we're champion swimmers. Let's get our people out of here and get off of this ship.
But we are so far from land, they cannot all swim.
Is there a spare boat or anything?
Notice some lifeboats up top.
Let's go free our people. We'll grab these lifeboats and we'll use them so people can rest.
You both make your way around all of the pirates that are running every which way and get lost in confusion of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You run down the stairs back into the dark of the hold. You see at the back, Cargol.
Just down at the very end.
Uh-huh.
Is he awake?
Yeah, he's awake. Upon seeing you, he yells,
"You're free! You know, free you roam! You roam!"
He snaps the thongs of the scourge into the air.
Is Prago near us by the front?
Yes, he's like cowering up against a wall. There's actually a hole in the side of the ship where a cannonball ripped through, and there's a few dead Lemurians.
I just look back at Prago and yell, "Give me the key."
He looks toward key.
"No key, no key," says Tartle, and he starts stomping toward you.
You wake up to a bunch of loud commotion, and the first thought that enters your head is, seriously, will I ever sleep again? And it feels like you've been sleeping for a while at this point. It seems like you got a good few hours, so you are rested. I would say you even get back a hit point.
Ooh, a whole hit point?
One whole hit point.
Okay.
So when you look around, you see the three rock kind of hollow is packed. There are many dark faces around. Jaikir is standing right in front of you, facing outward. And in front of him stands a rather large, imposing drow. And across his face is a metal plate with a skull on it. He draws a sword. The large man with the metal plate in front of his face.
Mm-hmm.
Of which Jaikir does as well.
"You will not,"
he says.
"This man is my captive and my responsibility."
To which the larger man replies,
"We will see what Varuna says about that."
And he sheathes his sword and walks angrily away. Not too far, but far enough.
"Get up, human."
Quito gets up. He also puts his baldrics on that has his have his sabers.
"I would not do that if I were you."
"Why not? It seems like my fate is being questioned right now."
"You are a prisoner. That is not in question. Though if you live, that is the question we're looking for answers for now."
"Well, then, on what does that hinge?"
"How long I can convince the rest of them that you're useful. Ankh-Na holds no real power in our tribe. But if he convinces the others that you should die, then position does not much matter."
"What would you have me do to prove my usefulness?"
"I would suggest not getting any crazy ideas."
"Yeah, you're a couple decades too late for that one."
"Huh. They are camped not far from here. That is where we go now, to await your fate. The rest of the tribe heads in this direction. It is not me you will have to convince, but Varuna. Thankfully, we need the stone, and you may be the only way we get it."
"It would help if I knew what you wanted the stone for. I've seen the evil purposes it can be put to. I would rather die than be party to its misuse."
"It is a payment, human."
"That is frustratingly vague."
"And so shall it have to be. Come, we ride."
This has been the Isles of Samsaris. The theme song is by Nick Coyle. Information on other music and sound effects can be found in the show notes. For more information on Samsaris and related projects, as well as information on booking game sessions, check out our website at www.crumblingkeep.com. Like Crumbling Keep on Facebook to keep up to date with Samsaris lore and episode releases. Want more? You know you do.
donate to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/crumblingkeep. Afsana was played by Emily Cam. Cordo is played by David Thornton. Azarath is played by Brad Kishpa. And Heskin is played by Frank Bolin. My name is James Crane, and I've been your Dungeon Master. Thanks for listening, and remember, fantasy is a necessary ingredient in living. It's the way of looking at life through the wrong end of a telescope.